Are you ready for a war?
It's a trap.
Game over, man. Game over.
She just killed a helicopter with a car.
How's that a bullet?
Say what again? Say what again?
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to BCD Flicksters, your Flickster review podcast, because we are the Flicksters. That's right.
We're awesome.
Starting with Mr. Ego over here.
Hi, Bama.
And hi, I'm Daniel Stahl.
All right. We are podcasting on October the 26th, 2012. And today we'll be reviewing The Game.
Oh, I just lost again.
Stop losing. Oh, my gosh. I want to give a quick shout-out to my friends at the Good Trash Genre Cast. I've been listening to you guys since you guys started up about 5 or 6 weeks ago. Really enjoy it. I do want to point out, though, you guys did give us a bit of a shout-out in your last podcast, and I really appreciate it. However, we are the BCD Flicksters, not the PCXQ or whatever the crap you call this. I'm glad you tuned in. I still listen to you guys. Just please get our name right. Thank you. Okay. We're going to go ahead and move into the box office, and we'll start out. To no one's surprise, Paranormal Activity 4 was number one at $29 million. However, it opened significantly lower than projected.
I still don't care. I wish Paranormal Activity, like the whole series, had a face so that I could just punch it. I seriously want to punch this whole series in the face. It's like the exact same thing over and over again. It's nothing but jump scares, and it's like this.
I am totally with you, Bama, because I have actually seen the first three. I saw the first one and the third one in theaters, like them. But by the time the third one came out, I was like, other than a couple of things they added in, which are pretty cool, I was like, man, this is getting kind of old. I know I can kind of almost predict when the scares are going to be.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. I saw all three of them, and I really actually enjoyed the first one when it first came out in theaters. I thought it was actually
cool. Oh, yeah, it was a big surprise, yeah.
It was like, whoa, like, hey, they're using some pretty cool aspects and stuff like that, but then they just use the same thing in the other two movies, so I'm with you guys on that one. So,
right, number two, holding strong at number two, I might add, is Argo. Again, saw it last weekend, excellent movie, wanted to look out for Oscar season, made $16.4 million. On its second weekend, it only dropped 15%, which is pretty well these days when things pretty much drop off after the first week. And then finally, the behemoth that was taken to was taken down.
Yes, so happy for that.
Was taken down.
He was taken down to 13.2. Liam Neeson, he's only got so much holding power, and most people who would normally go see that have already seen it or went to go see Paranormal Activity. So number four is holding strong. Is Hotel Transylvania with $13
million. Woohoo! I'm happy for that.
And number five, Alex Cross.
Yeah!
Remember the pile of poop Lost. With the sparkles on it? Yeah, yeah. And from what I've read and heard on various podcasts and people who've seen it, it's pretty dang bad. Like top five.
Wow.
Worst bad investigation movies, so. Well, we actually have a little bit of a special segment we're going to talk about this week. The last weekend, the three of us actually went to a Comic-Con in Dallas, Dallas Comic-Con 2012. Had a great time. There was a lot of special guests there. We ran into Bruce Campbell, Robert Englund, and Felicia Day were all panelists we sat in and watched. And there's a ton of others like Alan Tudyk or Sean Astin, Tara Strong, the voice actress. There was a lot of other ones there. Oh, let's see. Ray Park, for you Darth Maul fans out there, he was there. We saw him in a room. We did not get to talk to him. We did not get to take pictures of him.
I don't think we were ever in the same room as
Ray Park. No, we were looking into the room through that one doorway.
I tried to get a picture of him on my iPad, but it was just too far away.
I tried on my phone, too. It's just a big blur how far away he was.
Yeah, with him, they were very, like, closed doors. Like, hit him in a back room where you couldn't see him at all. Like, they tried to hide him really well.
And can I throw this out there? The Dark Lord of the Sith himself, Ian McDiarmid, who plays Sidious in the Star Wars movies, that guy was charging $100
for
an autograph, and then $150 for a photo op. And he stayed behind closed doors the entire day. So yeah. We didn't even get to see this guy from a distance or anything. He was out. So that was a little saddening.
I mean, he is a Dark Lord of the Sith.
I mean, I guess he would kind of force lightning any of us who
exactly.
Meow.
But yeah, it was a lot of fun. One thing that was really awesome for me was sitting in on the Q&A panels with Bruce Campbell and Robert Englund specifically, and also Felicia Day, actually. All three of them I thought did really well. Robert Englund is extremely smart. I did not realize how smart that guy was. He broke down the horror genre in a way that I've never heard before. And he dissected it in such a way that was awesome to listen to, basically. It was really intriguing. He said a lot of things that were never would have even crossed my mind, but he broke it down in such a way. I mean, he's been a part of the horror genre for such a long time. However, thought he did an extremely good job of breaking down that genre and explaining it.
He was incredibly engaging. I mean, as a you know, a really I'm a pretty edgy movie person myself, so anything he said I was pretty much interested in. But I mean, you said yourself you hadn't seen a lot of his movies, but even though you hadn't seen it, the way he just answered the questions, he like basically would he would answer his questions like telling a story. He would like set it up and like give you all his background information, and then like lead you on to this whole like story, and then give his ideas out there. It was super engaging. Like it was only a 45-minute panel, but man, I'm not even joking. I could not believe 45 minutes had gone by the time this thing was done.
Oh yeah, he was a great storyteller,
definitely. And then it was really cool to listen to Felicia Day. She actually had a lot of cool commentary on
Felicia Day. For those of you who don't know, she is she started the Guild, and she is the girl, the love interest in Dr. Horrible's Sing Along Blog, which is great. It's on Netflix. You should check it out.
Hilarious movie.
She had some really cool commentary on gaming culture and web series and things of that nature. She actually had a question directed towards her about sexism and the way that women are treated online gaming situations and stuff like that. And she had a really good commentary on it, so it was really cool to listen to her. It was actually kind of funny. Right before the guy that asked the question came up, there were two twins that came up and actually did a fake proposal to her. When the second guy came up, he asked the question, I know you probably get proposed to a lot and stuff like that, and guys just kind of think, oh, she's a girl that's a nerd, let's ask her out, blah, 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 blah. And so how do you deal with that? She had some really cool commentary.
Oh, yeah.
So I really enjoyed listening to her talk, too.
And of course, Bruce Campbell, just a hilarious guy.
Oh,
I mean,
gosh.
So that guy should be a stand-up
comedian.
King
of camp.
But
he
is. See, what was perfect about it wasn't just him that was making the jokes. He was feeding off the crowd. I mean, he would get some of these awkward questions from some people, and he'd be like he would answer the question, but then he'd be like, well, I'm going to go over to this section over here. I'm getting some crazy people over here.
I didn't like that question. I'm not picking you out on your section again.
I'm going to go about five questions over for a minute, and then I might come back.
One of my favorite was, Bruce Campbell, how do you keep your sexy on when you look in the mirror every day? I mean, and just, you know, and he would take it to the whole next level. He's like, oh, me and my wife, we all the time. So, I mean, just really, it was really funny. He turned every question, every answer into a punchline, even when he was making fun of himself.
And he also made fun of the people that asked the questions a lot of the times. For example, there's this one guy who had gray, gray long hair. Got up and asked a really good question, and Bruce Campbell talked about it for about 10 minutes. But the first thing he said was, well, only a 70-year-old like you would know. And clearly the guy's like 50, but he looks kind of older. And like for like 5 minutes, he just picked on this guy. Like, oh man, you're old, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, my
really
favorite
funny.
Where he's like, before you guys even ask a question, Ash is the character from Evil Dead, which Bruce Campbell made Bruce Campbell famous, essentially. So Ash, he's like, you're in a medium, Ash. Look, you did that about 10 minutes. You get that costume, it's threw together. So how about we give him a medium round of applause up there? And like, we were all like, do we clap? Sure. And
he's like, yeah, come on, medium applause.
He's like, oh, whoa, don't get too carried away. He's not that great.
he knew how to play a crowd.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And what happened at the end of his Q&A was really awesome for us. Yeah. We actually got a sneak peek view of the new Evil Dead movie.
Yeah, there's a now it's not Evil Dead 4, and what was really funny was he talked about that they still want to do an Evil Dead 4. But until they can get their act together, he said, let's remake Evil Dead in a really dark, straight, serious way. Because for those of you who have seen it, it's a camp fest. Mm-hmm. I mean, he made fun of all the movies. He said, no, these things are all terrible. They're amazing. But yeah. he called them all terrible. The trailer before it just went public on IGN today, so we actually got to see it the weekend before it hit the internet,
which was really awesome for us. So that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it looked really intense too. Like I was like, wow. I mean, the campy movies are funny, but I was like, wow, this looks a lot more intense than most horror movies.
That's possibly the darkest trailer I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Of anything.
Yeah,
ever.
It was intense.
It was very intense.
Yeah, so that was kind of cool going down to Comic-Con and hear all of them speak and stuff like that, and we got to see bunch of crazy costumes and stuff like that.
Oh, lots of great costumes. Oh, gosh. Got pictures. I got pictures with Lynx, and I got dual Zeldas, man. I got one on the left hand, one on the right side. Not the same time, but I had one on each side in various pictures. So, you know.
There you go. And so if you are into comic books, video games, movies, anything like that, you should definitely try to check out a Comic-Con at some point in your life. Definitely
worth it. Definitely worth it. And when you know, the one we went to was actually pretty affordable. It was pretty easy to get into. And actually, the merchandise in there wasn't bad at all. Price-wise.
Not at all.
I was shocked. I was expecting everything to be jacked up prices because you're in there. But we actually got some of the best deals I'd seen. I mean, I saw some of the best deals on this merchandise I'd seen in a long time. So.
And Caleb got a picture with Tara Strong for free.
Tara Strong? Heck yeah!
That's what's up.
And Tara Strong. Highlight. She is one of my favorite voice actresses. And she has voiced Batgirl. My personal favorite is Batgirl from Batman the Animated Series in the 90s. But she's also voiced Timmy Turner. Bubbles from Powerpuff Girls. She's voiced tons of video game characters. She voiced Harley Quinn in Arkham City. And for you bronies out there, she is a fan in the My Little Pony series. Not my type of thing, but she's still a pretty awesome voice actress. So, and if you're a brony, shame on you. Alrighty, we're going to go ahead and move on. Like I said, check out a Comic-Con. Find one. It'll be a great time. Worth your money. Absolutely. We're going to go ahead and move into our news section. Alright, let's go ahead and start with Bama this week.
Alright, this week I've got something really interesting. We're all pretty much fans of the X-Men and stuff. We all agree with each other that the first three movies, especially the last one, were not made really well. First Class definitely, you know, brought it.
I'm going to correct you on this, okay? The first two were great. The
first two were pretty good.
Okay, Wolverine and X-Men 3 were the big questions, okay?
True.
Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt, but I just want to...
But anyway, as most of y'all know, X-Men Days of Future Past will be coming out sometime next year. And also, The Wolverine will be coming out pretty soon. Not entirely sure.
No, Wolverine is July 2013, and X-Men First Class 2 is summer 2014.
Okay.
Or sorry, not First Class 2, Days of Future Past. That's right, folks. Freaking time travel in an X-Men movie.
In fact, talking about time travel and all that, the woman who played Jean Grey from the original three is going to be in both the new Wolverine movie and Days of Future Past.
I love cameos.
We don't know exactly what her cameo is going to be like in the Wolverine. I found an article from MoviePilot.com. They're saying it could be anything. It could be a flashback, you know, back to X-Men 3. It could be the Dark Phoenix rising again, or this could just be a sequel to Wolverine Origins. Very, very interesting. Definitely something to check out whenever those eventually come out.
You know, I heard from Mark Millar. That's the guy. He's a famous comic writer, for those of you that know, has written Red Son, Kick-Ass, various things of that nature. Check him out. He's great. But he has been hired to oversee all of the X-Men movies for Fox, and he went on record this last week saying that this next one is going to be Terminator style. It's got time travel. It's got Sentinels. That's right, people. Sentinels in an X-Men movie.
It's about time.
We do live in a post-Avengers world where anything is possible. It's exciting. Okay. All right, Daniel, what did you find out this week?
This week, my news item is, this past week, a new Iron Man 3 trailer came out. I watched it, and it was awesome. I think these guys agree with me that it was freaking awesome. I watched it, and I want to see the movie right now. Some cool things happened. I talked to some guys that know a little bit more about the comics than I do. There's actually part of the trailer where Iron Man brings his suit to him. Now, I had a friend of me who was telling me that in the comics, Iron Man gets psychic powers. He's saying that he thinks that's what's going on in this trailer. I'm not for sure because I don't know a lot of the comics, but that's what he was saying. I thought that sounded really awesome. So that was kind of what caught my eye this week, is that trailer looks awesome. If you haven't seen it, go and watch it right now. Stop the podcast, go watch it right now, and then come back to the podcast and listen to the rest of it, because that's how awesome this trailer was.
It's pretty awesome. Kind of made me think of, Iron Man Rises. That's kind of what I was thinking during this trailer. I mean, his whole life is being dismantled in front of him, and he doesn't know what to do, and it's dark, really dark. In fact, someone might even die how dark it is.
One thing that really caught my attention is it seems like they're going to do a lot with the character of Tony Stark and Iron Man. In the trailer, Tony Stark is narrating over, and he says that he's having nightmares ever since New York, referencing
the Avengers,
things like that. There's actually a couple creepy scenes. Well, one creepy little spot where he's in his bed with Penny, and then the Iron Man suit jumps out and gets right in front of his face. And I think it's a dream. I'm not 100% sure. I don't know.
Yeah, you can't really tell. But this one definitely looks more story-driven, as the other two were a little bit more action-based.
Yeah, so this one definitely looks like it takes it back to the character, which the first one I felt like was actually a decent enough character movie for, but Iron Man 2 definitely was what you're right, totally way more about the action. And I felt Tony Stark, his character quote-unquote developed through the movie, but you really didn't get time to see it because there was so much going on that he had to kind of rush through his own story. So this movie definitely looks like it's going back to the heart of his character. And that they're going to do – it's going to be a lot different than the first two in the sense that they're doing a totally different thing with the story, which I'm pretty excited about too. I'm with you on this one.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited about it. And if you haven't seen the trailer, go check it out right
now. Just like Tony Stark, man, he is going to just get dominated, like destroyed and dismantled. He's going to come out at the end and be like, I am Iron Man.
No.
Throat cancer. He develops it through – whatever. No. Iron Man Rises, folks. Check it out. All right. My news item for the week is – has to do with a little guy called Wally Fenster. And for those of you who don't know, he is the cinematographer for all of Christopher Nolan's movies going back to Memento. He's done Batman Begins, The Prestige, Dark Knight, Inception, Dark Knight Rises. He's done all these. Christopher Nolan has said that he is going to go ahead and produce his first debut film. And it's called Transcendence. Now, the news that came out this week about Transcendence was that Johnny Stepp is being attached to star in a lead role, which is huge for a person with their directorial debut to get a star as big as Johnny Depp. And the film, according to The Hollywood Reporter, the film is described as being in the vein of 2001 A Space Odyssey and Inception. And the story apparently centers on a man who creates a computer that develops a malevolent awareness. And Depp, who will be playing the husband of a character in the movie, gets sucked into the computer. Not a whole lot on this movie, but it's the fact that you've got Christopher Nolan producing, you've got guys like Johnny Depp starring, and yet this plot that does definitely sound something like out of the Twilight Zone, which I'm a big fan of the old school Twilight Zone stuff. Well, so
something like Tron.
Tron, except for this would be way cooler than Tron.
True.
Tron just had some awesome music, okay?
I fell asleep during Tron,
cranked up surrounds. I don't know how you did that. He's a sleeping
guy. So impossible.
Anyway, lastly, a little piece of tag. Here's some other names they're throwing around as being attached to Transcendence. Pretty big. Noomi Rapace, who played recently in Prometheus, but she's also played in the Swedish version of Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. She is being offered the lead. Tobey Maguire and James McAvoy are both in the running for the other male lead. And then Christopher Waltz, Academy Award winner Christopher Waltz, who played the bad guy in Inglourious Basterds, the Jew Hunter. He has been offered a key supporting role. So, Mr. Fenster over here, debuting his first film, it's going to be a sci-fi, has got some huge talent behind this. I mean, Christopher Nolan producing, and then all these actors on board. This is massive for a debut film. Sometimes it takes most directors years to get to a point where they can get a cast like this big. Anyway, that's my news. You guys should follow Transcendence in the coming months to see what happens. All right, we are about to move into our review of the week for The Game. The Game is a film directed by David Fincher, who is more recently known for the American version of Girl with the Dragon Tattoo and Social Network. The Game follows Nicholas Van Orton, played by Michael Douglas, who is an incredibly successful investment banker who is on top of the business world, but he is disconnected from anyone as he is divorced and never talks to his only living relative, that is his brother. Nicholas is dreading his 48th birthday because he witnessed his father committing suicide at the same age when he jumped off of the building right in front of Nick. On his birthday, his brother Conrad, who is played by Sean Penn, comes to Nick and buys him a gift certificate, which gets him into a game run by an organization called the Consumer Recreation Services, shortened to CRS. After hearing a group of men talk about the CRS, Nick decides to check it out. He has put through many physical and psychological tests before he finally decides to walk out and quit. Nick's evening is later interrupted by a newscaster on his TV who tells him that his game has just begun and he can't get out until it's finished. Not long after the next day has begun, Nick quickly begins to realize how the CRS has invaded his life and has begun throwing him into several intense situations. The game at this point has escalated to in very intense levels and at one point eventually crosses into the line of criminal. Nick runs into a waitress named Christine, who's played by Deborah Unger, who gets caught up in the game with Nick. Eventually, Conrad shows up and warns Nick that the game has gone too far and that it's inescapable. And Nick begins to wonder who he can trust and who he can't through this game, and as he tries to figure out what kind of game he is really playing. Alrighty, so that's kind of the setup. Alright, we'll go ahead and start with Bama. What do you think about the game?
I loved this movie. I thought it was very well done. A lot of great scenes in it. One thing that I really liked about this was before Nick started in with this whole game thing, I kind of noticed, this is a little cinematography thing that I noticed, before he started the game, colors seemed to be a little bit bright, you know, things were going pretty good for him. I mean, successful businessman, big old place to himself, he's got a maid that helps him run the place, a very good overall great businessman. But then once he starts in the game, you see it kind of start going towards a darker tone throughout the whole game. Very interesting. Constantly wondering who's in the game, who's not, who's being real with him, who is just a part of all this, a part of the CRS. Just absolutely great. So many moments where I was like, is she part of the game or is she just another person? I just constantly going back and forth with everyone.
Yeah, what'd you think about the intensity rising? At one point, it starts out small. He gets his dinner gets messed up. Small little stuff they throw off. And then at one point, he eventually exits his hotel. He goes into a hotel room that apparently he shows that he was checked into. And it has pornography, drugs, the whole nine yards in the room that he's registered in. So it gradually gets way more intense. Did you think that the build-up to that was pretty solid?
Yeah, I mean, it didn't seem like it was too jumpy. They didn't, you know, go from, like, you know, just little minor things and then just jump straight up to some pretty major stuff. No, they gradually just kept getting bigger and bigger with every single thing that they were trying to... I mean, they were just trying to mess with this guy is what it seems like. And there's even a point where it's like, okay, are these people just in it to steal my money? Or, I mean... He's so confused about what's going on. And I just thought, you know, them gradually getting the intensity risen up throughout that really messed with him and made him wonder, who can I trust? Mm-hmm. That's kind of the theme for this whole movie is, who can you trust?
All right, Daniel, so what were your thoughts on this movie?
I really enjoyed it a lot. Definitely on the edge of my seat most of the time, especially after the game started, quote-unquote started. Really enjoyed it a lot. I wasn't a huge fan of the ending, which we'll probably talk about a little bit later in the spoiler section. But really enjoyed it. Thought the intensity, the building up of it was really good. I felt like it was really well done. The actors, I thought, did a really good job of portraying their particular roles. As Bama was, the whole time this movie really had me drawn in, really was questioning, okay, what's really going on? Really confused most of the time. Didn't figure out anything any remotely close to what was going on until the very end of the movie. There were points in the movie where if someone asked me, what do you think's going on? I would have been like, I have no idea. Like, I couldn't even give a good guess. So definitely on the edge of your seat, really intense, really exciting. So definitely one of those types of movies if you're into that. So, but I really enjoyed it overall.
This was definitely a great mind bender, suspense thriller. You know, they made a lot more of these in the 90s and these days, bigger budget movies like this are something that you see behind Transformers and lots of stuff like that. So this type of movie is actually pretty rare these days. I mean, we'll get one every once in a while for sure. I mean, I can think of a couple off the top of my head. But you do get suspense thrillers that are really exciting like this. Very original to the extent it feels different than things we see today when I say original. This movie had some excellent build-up. That was the thing about this movie that really made it for me was it did have you on the edge of your seat. It did have you questioning everything. Who's lying, who's not, who's telling the truth, like you guys already said. The thing I found most interesting about the movie is, though, the movie actually has some pretty interesting ideas underneath that I'll kind of talk about more in the spoilers section. Still, you look like you want to say something.
One thing, we were kind of talking about themes a little bit, one thing that I definitely was a theme in this movie, and maybe it's just because I'm in a class called Lit and Cult, and maybe I've just been trained to see it more often than I'm supposed to. I definitely thought the issue of security and being watched was definitely a theme in this movie. You, as the game kind of starts, you start to realize that these people have access to basically everything. His cell phone rarely works. When he tries to call someone, it doesn't work. So they have access to his cell phone. There are several times where he tries to watch TV and something will come on the TV and talk to him. And it's a part of the game.
They're always in control. Yes. Whenever he tries, even when he tries to call the cops to bust these guys and file a lawsuit against him, they go up to the building where the offices were at when he visited at the beginning of the movie, and they were all gone. So it was like they were watching him knowing exactly what he was going to do the whole time.
Yes, definitely watching him the whole time. It was crazy how much they changed things all the time. There's a scene where he gets into an ambulance because there has been a guy who was just beat up.
No. A guy who just died. He passed out on the street.
Yeah, he just passed out in the street. And he helps them, and he was there witnessing it. So he has to get into the ambulance with them. He gets into this ambulance, has picked up this guy. When the ambulance arrives, he gets out, and he's in the middle of a parking garage. And you're like, what in the world is going on? Obviously, you know, there are people that were in the ambulance were involved in the game. And so just had access to everything that was going on in his life. He actually gets stuck in an elevator because he got stuck in the parking garage. These people had access to everything that was going on, and I think that's definitely a theme going on. Like, how much are we being watched?
Reminds you again of something like you see at the Truman Show or something like that, where he feels like he's in the middle of a literal game, where everyone, he's not sure who's playing, so he kind of assumes everyone's playing but him. Everyone's part of the game except for him because he's trying to get out of it. So he's kind of trapped because everyone's watching him to see what he'll do. Yeah, there's definitely a lot of that kind of hyper-reality type of thing. I thought that the character was interesting. Michael Douglas playing a rich guy. Who knew? He plays rich white guys who were successful. Anyway, he did a great job at playing this character. And what was interesting was how he tied his story back to his father. He was constantly going back to that throughout the movie, that his father had killed himself. Not only did his father kill him, he saw his father kill himself on his 48th birthday, and it was his 48th birthday, so he felt like almost as hopeless as his father. Now, his father was also financially successful, so Nick felt kind of like almost like he was on the verge of doing it himself, it looked like, a few times.
I don't remember if you said this or not, but I think it's important to remember that the reason he starts this game is because his brother gives him a birthday card and says, this is the best thing I've ever done in my life. You should check this out.
Yes.
He doesn't even mention that it's a game, I don't think. He just says, hey, go check this place out. It's the best thing I've ever done in my life. You need to check this out. So he goes up to the CRS, not really knowing that it's a game. He gives them the card to say, okay, everything will be paid for. Then the guy tells him, okay, this is a game, but before we do that, we got to take all the tests. And we kind of mentioned that earlier. He has to go through a bunch of different tests. I think it's important to know that his brother was the one that talked him into playing the game.
All right, we're going to go ahead and move into our spoiler section. So tune out now and tune back in about 10 minutes or so. We're going to be getting into this movie in particular, we will be getting down to the fine details of the end of the movie. So please tune out.
Spoiler alert!
All right, so this movie, my biggest problem with this movie was the end. This movie had some incredible build-up. The movie was paced well. It set up well. Except the game, he gets stuck and starts little, really small, and these people slowly start to take over his life. I loved every second of it. I loved it when he finally got so desperate to go track down the waitress who he found out, who lured him away and stole his cell phone numbers. I loved that apparently it was a whole scam. They actually lock him in a box in Mexico. All right? I thought that was incredible. And once they got to Mexico, I was like, how are they going to top that? They cannot top this. And then that's where you start to see that Nick actually starts to go slightly crazy. When I say crazy, I don't mean actually crazy, but he's like, I'm just going to go shoot somebody. Go to the CRS thing. I am going to shoot someone up. That is because he's at this point, they've taken all his money. They've taken his house. They've taken his car, everything, his ID. He's got nothing. Absolutely incredible. And I even loved it all the way up to the point to where he goes to the CRS and he's on the roof. What I don't like is the end of this movie. The end of the movie, he ends up, like his father, jumping off a building. Now, when he jumps off the building, he slowly falls and has flashes, and you're like, wow, this is really going dark places because he's really going to die. But then he crashes through the glass ceiling, and lo and behold, he's got a giant, like, safety net he lands on, basically. The whole thing was part of the game. Up to that point, everything was part of the game, and he survives. Now, I'm not going to say that this ending necessarily doesn't make sense. I think it does make sense. I think it fits to some extent. But I just didn't think the payoff, the ending that this movie offered, really was anywhere close to the greatness of the build-up. Because that was where it was all, the build-up, and the ending was not, it just didn't live up to that build-up.
Well, I mean, I think it accomplished what it really needed to do, because, I mean, if you think about it, of course CRS would know exactly what this guy is going to do, because they had him take so many different tests, personality, psychoanalysis, even some physical tests. So that, I mean, they knew every single capability of this man. So, I mean, for them to But for them to plan it out so quickly, I think that's a little far-fetched. But, I mean, anyways, I mean, this is probably a huge company that probably puts this on. But anyway, I think it really works out because throughout the movie, Nick is he's trying to find out who are his friends. And then with the ending scene, he sees that everyone around him that was a part of this game is really his friend. He just needs to, pick himself up out of bed every morning and actually live life, you know, the way it should be lived. So I think we're disagreeing on the ending, but I mean, I think we both agree that it comes to a pretty good conclusion.
Yeah, okay, when I say I didn't like the ending, what I'm not saying is that it totally fits. I'm not disagreeing on that. It fits. It totally fits with the beginning. The way the movie sets it up is basically this man is on his last leg. He succeeded at everything in the business world, but his human relations, he feels, are just dead. He doesn't talk to his brother. He has an ex-wife who he talks to at some point in the movie, but the relationship didn't work out. He feels alone, and had he not played the game, he probably would have killed himself. But in the ending, you're right, it does kind of show that basically, hey, here's when everything is stripped from you, here's how you appreciate life. Mm-hmm. And that, hey, these people do care about you. The whole thing is a ploy by his brother, a very expensive ploy by his brother to get him back. I'm not saying that it doesn't fit. It does fit the ideas and themes, but for me, it just, I was like, oh, that's it? That's all it is? I mean, it fits, yeah, but after all the craziness, all the buildup, really, it wasn't any different from the setup of the game, or where they tell you at the beginning, this is all just a game. And then at the end, after all the buildup and all the confusion and all the red herrings and everything, it's still just a game.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I also was not 100% behind the ending. I kind of agree with both of you in a sense. It's a good conclusion. It makes sense. It fits. I did feel like it was kind of a cop-out. Okay, it was just a game in the end. However, thinking about it, I can't really come up with a better ending than what did occur. I can't think of an ending that fit better than the one that was, because they did tell us from the beginning, it's a game, it's a game, it's a game. And they are able to take us away from that and confuse us, but they told us the whole time. So in a sense, maybe they tricked me in a little bit, the writers of the film, maybe they tricked me into believing that it wasn't a game. But in the end, they told us throughout the whole movie that it was a game. I really did enjoy this, but it was a really good movie. I was on my edge of the seat the whole time, really into it. Just, that's my only critique. Oh, one thing that I found hilarious after I thought about it was, when you find out the whole thing was a game, at one point there's a scene where he's in a house with the waitress, Christine. They're in a house together. He goes to see her. She says, the smoke alarm, they're watching us right now. And he looks up at the smoke alarm and just starts screaming, like, why are you guys doing this to me? What's going on? All of a sudden, these guys storm out of the car and start shooting up this house. Which at the time, you think that they're really shooting at him. Come to find out, they weren't. They were shooting planks. So why in the world was there bullet holes in the house when they were shooting at him?
Magic bullets, man. Magic bullets. Because
there was bullet holes all over that house, but they were shooting blanks. That was one thing I thought was just hilarious.
Blanks that shatter windows and create bullet holes all over the wall.
I didn't even realize that until now.
I mean, it's not a big deal to me. I just thought about that afterwards. I thought it was really funny. Yeah. So, yeah, after that is when he gets shipped off. Basically, they capture him, they send him to Mexico, and he wakes up in a box, and he is convinced that they have stolen absolutely everything from him. He has nothing to his name. He begs people in Mexico with, like, he finds a restaurant and says, I have $18 in my wallet. Will one of you drive me to
San Francisco?
To San Francisco. And he literally believes he has nothing. And when he gets back, though, that's what you were talking about. He kind of goes crazy. He gets a gun, and he's like, I'm going to shoot somebody
if y'all don't give me my money back. Let's point this out. I don't even think he necessarily wants his money back. He just wants to shoot somebody out of all the crap he's been through. I'm not even joking.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is he gets the gun at – great writing here. He gets the gun out of a book from his library. It's Kill a Mockingbird. Nice little reference there. But the great little setup there, because what happens is when he gets to the – he works his way up to the CRS. Oh, he finds – sorry. He gets to CRS because he sees one of the guys who he saw at the building at the beginning of the movie in a TV commercial, and he finds out he's an actor. So he chases this guy all the way to the frickin' zoo. I don't know how he knew to get him at the zoo, but he goes to the zoo where he spends time with his kids, and he holds him at gunpoint. And this is how serious he is. He's like, dude, not my kids. He's like, get rid of him. He's like, man, he needs business. He's going to pop this guy right in the face.
That I will say that I really enjoyed that the movie was able to do was, the more I think about it, the more it does make sense that the ending a little bit. What this character is going through is, as we've mentioned before, he's remembering his dad. He's turning the same age that his dad was when his dad committed suicide. That's a big struggle for him. So anyway, they build this up. He's on top of the CRS building with Christine, who you find out is part of the game the whole time, and she's been playing him, and they stole all his money. He's convinced that they stole everything. Everything that belongs to him is gone, and he's convinced of that. He pulls out a gun, and she says, "Where'd you get that gun?" And he says, "Oh, it's from my house." And she said, "Well, when we scanned your house, we didn't know."
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Great setup, because yeah. You're like, "Oh yes. My gosh, he actually found a gun there hidden." So she starts panicking.
She's like, "Well, we put blanks in all the guns that we could find, but we must have missed that one. So don't shoot it. That's a real gun. Don't shoot me. And he says, "Oh, really?" And he kind of believes her, kind of doesn't. And she starts trying to convince him, "Okay, we weren't ripping you off. This is part of the game. And he doesn't really believe her. And the door is about to open. The security guard men were chasing him. Elevator door is about to open. She says, "Don't shoot, your brother's there." And he doesn't believe her. So the door opens. He pulls the trigger and he shoots his brother.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh my goodness. And then like about a minute.
I will give the movie that. That did have some emotional impact. You're like, oh my gosh. He really just killed his brother.
Yeah. They totally had me on that. I thought, wow, he just killed his brother. And they were actually just throwing a party for him.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it turns out that as soon as he does that, he turns around, he jumps off a building, and you see him fall, and you get all the flashbacks to his father and stuff like that. He lands down. You find out that the entire thing was a game. They totally played him, and his brother walks out perfectly fine and says, "Happy birthday," and then he gives him a hug, and they have a big party. And one thing that I really do like about that is that he finally gets to the point where, like, he deals with the fact that he wasn't good in relationships. As soon as he sees his brother, he goes up and he hugs him, and immediately their relationship seems to be fixed. And he kind of deals with the fact that his father killed himself, wanting to make the same decision in that moment. So I thought that was really cool. From the character's perspective, I think there was a little bit of payoff that his character came to a point where he could deal with his father and understand what was going on.
And not only just that, he even makes good with his ex-wife and promises her that, you know, well, especially from earlier scene when he actually sees the guy in the commercial, the actor, he promises her that, you know, "If I get out of this, I promise I will explain everything to you, and I promise you that I will start calling you more." So he does really fix a lot of his past relationships.
Her and her husband are both at the party.
She's expecting a child, and they already have another one,
right.
I believe. So, right. I mean, he's completely, you know, fixing his relationships by the end of this movie.
Yeah. I will say, gives him kind of a shot at rebirth, you know, a second chance for him, because he's realized in life making money is not everything, and that he can fix those relationships. He just needed
a little push.
It's like Insanity. All you need is a little push.
And of course, not only does he fix all of his past relationships, he may even have a future relationship going on with Christine.
Yeah, Christine at the end of the movie.
Well, what it ended up being her real name?
I honestly don't remember. She had a real name. Jane Doe. I don't know. You know.
Yeah, Christine was her name that she used for the game purposes, but that wasn't actually her. But the movie ends with him going up to her and asking her out to coffee. And so that's how the movie ends. And so you kind of see him going on, trying to create those relationships.
Yeah. And I'll stick by my point. I think you guys are totally right on everything you're saying. I don't disagree with anything you're saying about this. And I do think that there is some payoff to it in the emotional sense, because you do get that real resolution with his relationships, which is nice. And you do see that character has arced by the end of the movie, which is crucial to a movie of this nature. But I still feel like that payoff, no matter what it would have been, and this is probably just no matter what it would have been because of how they were tricking you, and I'm with Stoll. I can't think of an ending that would have been more satisfying for me if it had been different. But at the same time, I still felt like this one just didn't pay off quite as much as that movie had built up to. So it was a little anticlimactic.
Yeah.
But
it kind of seemed that, you know, build up to this really big ending, and then it hit right on to a brick wall. Big, huge emotional buildup, and then boom, it's a party.
Right.
So I will agree with that.
All right, well, let's go ahead and rate out this movie. Give it a letter grade. All right, Bama, let's go.
I am going to give this an A. Not going to give it an A+, because, like I said, there were a couple of things, you know, the big, huge emotional towards the end, and then it just kind of going all happy and fluffy at the end. but still a very great movie. Giving it an A. Definitely put this in your insta-queue if you don't want to watch it right away, but I would definitely watch it right away if you're interested in thriller movies like this.
So that means after you listen to this podcast, unless you like, you know, have something you have to do, like homework or, you know, forget homework. just watch this movie.
Watch the
Stop
game.
Stop what you're doing. Watch the game. Not Monday Night Football. None of this crap. Watch the game. The real game. All right, Stoll, what's your letter grade?
I am going to go with a B+. I really enjoyed it and probably watch it again. I don't think it'd probably be as good with multiple viewings because part of what gets you is like you don't know what's going on. I feel like watching it a second time would not be as great. So that's part of the reason I'm knocking it and the ending. But then again, I understand why it happened, but I'm going to give it a B+. I definitely really enjoyed it. I'll say it this way. I enjoyed this movie more than I did Brick. However, I think Brick was a better movie. So I'll just put it that way. So that's kind of what I'm going to say about it.
I think this movie was not David Fincher's best work. I think this was a great stepping stone for him because he's a fantastic director. I'm going to give this one a B. I don't think this quite lives up to... I think the buildup is amazing. Really is amazing. It is really impressive. Like how will they build that intensity and the suspense in this movie. However, that payoff just didn't quite do it for me. Not that it was bad. The movie is a great... It's a really great movie. I like this movie a lot. But it's still going to be a B. I have some problems with it. But I will say this. You definitely got to queue this up and watch it because it's quite a ride.
Yeah, definitely agree. Definitely queue it up
and
watch it.
And my last thought on this movie is the third time I've seen this movie. And Stoll is correct. I don't think this movie is as strong on repeat viewings. Not that this movie is bad. However, when the mystery is gone and you know where it's going, it is not quite the exciting thrill ride that you see the first time. Alrighty, we're going to go ahead and move on to our buzz section, and we're going to talk about what's got us going this week and what is awesome in the world of pop culture. Starting with Mr. Bama on my left.
Alright, so what I'm buzzed about is something that's, I mean, it's really special. It's going to be just such a big event. I mean, everyone is really going to be just so excited about this.
It's going to be a pretty big deal. I don't even know what you're talking about.
Oh, I mean, this may be on the news.
What are you talking about, man?
I'm talking about October 30th.
Assassin's Creed 3! Yes!
No. October 30th is my birthday.
Oh.
Yes, yeah. I will be turning 24 years old on October 30th. Yeah. Wow. Everyone, you know, add me on Facebook, Twitter, send me happy birthdays, you know, do whatever. No, October 30th is also Assassin's Creed coming out. I personally have not played any of the Assassin's Creed games. I've watched people play the games. Kind of know the storyline a little bit. They look fantastic. Always great game mechanics in there. So I really expect this to be
something
special.
You get to assassinate the Brits in the Revolution.
What could be better?
Other than you, right?
Well, I mean, if I was the character, then yeah. That's Assassin's
Creed 8, okay? By the time you get to 8, you'll be playing as Bama at Mac U. All right, Stoll, what has got you fired up?
Well, to be honest... Okay, well, to be honest, there wasn't a whole lot that was going on this week that had me buzzed. However, I will talk about one thing that I've been really interested in the past couple weeks, and that is Game of Thrones. I have heard a lot of good things about this. I know there are several people that I am friends with that really enjoy this movie. They could possibly be in this room.
This is not a movie.
I mean, sorry.
Correction!
Sorry, not movie. My bad. TV show.
Although it is pretty much a giant epic movie of how incredibly well made it is. Okay, sorry. Go.
Two of the people that really enjoy this movie and have recommended it to me are sitting in this room. I really want to see it. It sounds really awesome. It sounds like something that would be right up my alley that I'd really like.
This is high fantasy. This is a post-apocalyptic high fantasy series. This is what this is. Take anything you know about fantasy and put it in like the worst possible scenario where instead of everything getting better, everything is getting worse. This is like the one fantasy world. Westeros is not the place you want to go.
Yeah, and I'm really excited about it. I usually like high fantasy a lot. I like fantasy genre. There are a lot of movies and TV shows that I really enjoy. However, I should let you guys know, there is a lot of nudity in this TV show.
Well, you haven't seen it. How would you know?
It's on HBO. I know because you guys have told me.
Yeah, we've told them quite a bit.
So that is there. So if that is an issue for you. This is not something you need to be watching. So, but however, it seems to be a really good TV show. So
Game of Thrones, you win or you die.
I really want to.
So if you don't finish the show, you die.
Check it out.
Man, I just want to talk about Game of Thrones, man. I want to talk about Tyrion and my man crush on Tyrion right now.
So that's, what, 3 man crushes you have now?
We're not going to talk about it.
What was it you said? Like, it was like Emma Stone.
Okay. We're not going to talk about that. Because a new trailer for a game I have been hyping for 2 years now, folks. This is 2 years since the first trailer came out. And this game is called BioShock Infinite. For any of you who have played the first BioShock, it is one of the most immersive, dark, immersive, and story-driven games I have ever played. Wow. Okay. BioShock Infinite looks nothing like the first one. It's set in a cloud city. It's kind of like during the 1920s. It's like a city of balloons. And basically, there's this totalitarian government that runs everything. And basically, these rebels are deciding where they're taking down the city. They're going to take it out. And basically, the main character is there to capture this princess of some sort, or rescue her, rather. She's being held hostage by this giant parrot beast thing, kind of like a beast from Beauty and the Beast, keeping her in the castle. So your character's going in to save her in this kind of 1920s cloud city thing. Now, what you find out about this girl is she's got some really weird powers. I can't really describe them to you in full, but you just need to go and watch the trailers because it's incredible. But I will be honestly say, this is a game I haven't been this excited for a game since last year's Zelda Skyward Sword. And I'm a giant Zelda fan, so the fact that I am just as excited for this as I am for a Zelda game really says something. So it's coming out February 2013. This is definitely one you got to check out, guys. This game looks absolutely phenomenal.
I will say this. I've seen BioShock 1 and BioShock 2 played. I've watched them and played. I've never actually played them. Didn't look like my cup of tea. However, I saw this trailer and thought this game will be amazing. Like, the trailer for this game was phenomenal. I couldn't even describe how I felt after I watched the trailer. It's awesome. So go check out the trailer.
Wait here in the coming months. I am sure I will worship its awesomeness yet again.
And for those of you, kind of going back to the Assassin's Creed thing real quick, I'm actually already got the game pre-order paid off. I will be playing it
the day it comes out. Me and Stahl are tag team in this. See, I've got it on PS3. He's got it on Xbox. We're both going to pick up at midnight. And we're going to see which version is the best, which clearly we know PlayStation 3 is the best.
But okay, here's the thing. When I talk about it next week, because I'm going to talk about it, my opinion is going to matter more because I've played all the games and I own all the games.
Hey, and you I have played all the real games. I have played the first one and the second one, and I'm playing number 3. I did not play the expansion packs.
Because it's not expansion pack.
What do you call those things?
Those are extension packs.
This conversation just went from stupid to worse. So.
I get that name from Dan McBride. Look him up.
He's a beast.
We miss you, Daniel.
Moment of silence. Okay. All right. Since you've now heard our fanboy worship glory, we're going to go ahead and move on to, or we're going to wrap up a little bit. A couple things that are coming out in theaters that might be worth your interest. Cloud Atlas. This is a movie I am incredibly excited for. Now, Cloud Atlas, I'll be honest, it's based on a young adult novel. I really don't know what the story is. This thing has a star-studded cast. You've got guys like Tom Hanks, Halle Berry, Keith David, Hugo Weaving, Jim Broadbent, Ben Whishaw, and Susan Sarandon, Hugh Grant. It's got an epic cast. It's directed by the duo formerly known as the Wachowski brothers. One of them is now a woman, so it is the Wachowski siblings. And the other Tom Tykwer. The three of them are directing the movie. It looks epic. It's a story that takes place over hundreds of years and kind of highlights how these various characters are connected throughout their different lifetimes. Because in the story, they have these characters who apparently are reincarnated or rebirthed in various lifetimes. And it shows how these characters, their friendships and connections transcend the different lifetimes.
I agree.
You agree?
That looks really awesome.
Oh, okay, gotcha. I was going to say, you might be called a little bit heretical around these parts if you believe in that type of stuff. But
Of course I don't believe in that.
Anyway, I'm very excited. I think this movie looks ambitious, it looks huge, and it looks like I'm going to love it or I'm going to hate it. It just looks like one of those types of movies. The other movie worth noting that's coming out this week is Silent Hill Revelations 3D. The only reason I mention this is because I really like the first one. It's not a great movie. It's not even a good movie by most standards, but I do like it. Very dark, atmospheric movie. It had Sean Bean, okay? That's all I need to say, Sean Bean. Anyway, and tying this back to Game of Thrones, Kit Harington, who plays in Game of Thrones, is also in this movie. So, as a fan of the first movie, I might check this out. Not sure if I'm going to see it in 3D or not, but... Anyway, any other comments from you guys about what's coming out this weekend?
I like Tom Hanks. I may go see Cloud Atlas. I'm Castaway. What more do I have to say about, you know, Tom Hanks being a great actor? As far as Silent Hill goes, nah, not really.
Yeah, I'll say that Cloud Atlas looks really good. When I saw the trailer, I was really impressed. So that's something I might check out.
All right, I want to wrap up. You can follow me on Twitter at BigCalKenobi91. Big Cal, that's right, like Obi-Wan, Kenobi91. Or you can follow me at Masters_review. Follow us there. We are working on getting a Facebook and Twitter set up. So hopefully by the time the next podcast is up, you guys will have access to that so you can see all of our podcasts in one place and you can check back weekly. Check us out next week when we will finally be tackling a Paul Thomas Anderson for you movie nerds out there. We're going to be tackling one of his movies, Punch Drunk Love, starring Adam Sandler.
Woohoo, Sandler.
Oh, this is not your typical Sandler movie, my friend.
Woohoo, not typical Sandler.
All right, everybody. Thanks for tuning in, and until next week, just remember, if you fire blanks, bullet holes will show up.
Don't lose the game.
I lost!
Kill the Batman.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Game over.